It's 24 degrees outside our studios at Friends Plaza in Urbana. The time now 8:50, and time for the pre-opening market report on WILL with Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jim, and good Wednesday morning, everyone. Before we get rolling, a quick programming note. The WILL HD transmitter will be off the air during the hours of 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. today. We will be conducting a required repair to the transmitter. WILL AM and WILL FM, though, will continue broadcasting without interruption, and we thank you for your understanding. The Federal Reserve today says that U.S. industrial production rose to its highest level since mid-2008 in December. As manufacturing and mining output climbed, industrial output increased 0.3% last month. Manufacturing output advanced 0.8% from November. The Labor Department today says that U.S. consumer prices held steady in December, as rising food and shelter costs offset declining gasoline prices. The index of consumer prices was unchanged after falling 0.3% the prior month. The index measures what Americans pay for everything, from groceries to hospital stays. Gasoline prices dropped 2.3% during December. That's the third consecutive monthly decline. Overall, energy costs fell 1.2% in December. Food costs rose 0.2% in December, making the seventh monthly increase. Prices for shelter, which makes up nearly a third of all consumer prices, rose 0.1%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 13,475, is down 59 points. The NASDAQ, 3108, down 2.5. The S&P 500 is 1468. It's down 3.93 points.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Tranquil conditions will occur across much of the Midwest as we move forward through the next week to possibly as much as 10 days, but it's going to be impressive how cold it's going to get in the upper parts of the region, especially in the eastern Dakotas, Minnesota, and some immediate neighboring areas. This bitter cold will come in two waves. The first will be tomorrow morning, and we'll see some negative teens, maybe even a few negative 20s occurring in the extreme northernmost parts of that region, mostly northern and central parts of Minnesota and northeastern North Dakota. But the second wave of cold will have a little bit more meaning, and a greater area of influence. We'll likely see negative teens and negative 20s occurring in much of the eastern Dakotas and Minnesota, maybe even a part of Wisconsin. And it wouldn't surprise me to see an extreme close to minus 30 near the Canada border. That kind of cold is pretty brutal, and it is expected to be around for a few days, but we'll see the cold starting to abate as we move deeper into next week. But before that happens, we'll see some realm of the cold working its way into the eastern United States and even the southeastern part of the country. That's going to bring a risk of some frost and maybe some light freezes into some of the Florida citrus areas by, oh, maybe midweek next week. I'm not convinced that we'll see crop damaging conditions. The citrus can take some freezes without any issue, so we'll keep an eye on that. At the moment, I would say the odds are relatively low that the crop will be seriously hurt, but there will certainly be a threat for and talked about for a few days. As far as other issues for the Midwest is concerned, there's really not too many. We will see some brief periods of light snow moving across the north from the Dakotas into Michigan. Maybe a chance for a little bit of that snow to work its way a little further south, but not by much, and all of it is going to accumulate very poorly. So we're not expecting to see any major issues with travel across the region, and we're certainly not going to see large amounts of moisture coming into the area either. So the bottom line is rather tranquil conditions for a while, and that's going to be welcome, especially in the lower eastern Midwest, where it's been so wet here in recent days. That's not been the case in the northwestern Corn Belt, and there's still a pretty darn serious amount of dryness down underneath a thin layer of snow across that region. Many areas have seen some poor precipitation in recent weeks, and there's really not much sign change coming into that area for the next couple of weeks at least. And if I was a betting man, I'd say probably not much change would occur through a fair amount of February. That doesn't mean they'll be completely dry. It just means that the precipitation they get is still going to be below average or certainly not efficient enough to restore or raise soil moisture from the very poor, very large deficits that are prevailing across the region right now. Well, we do expect to see those temperatures turn colder here as we move into next week, but not necessarily in the southern plains. In fact, the area from Texas northward into Colorado and western Kansas may escape a lot of the cold. In some of that hard red winter wheat areas, we'll see some additional drying, although not necessarily in an aggressive manner. Temperatures will be in the 40s and 50s, maybe a few 60s, but that's about as warm as it'll get. A change in weather will be possible in about 10 days, no sooner than a week, but probably 8 or 9 days. We'll probably see a chance for a little bit of return flow moisture coming up from the Gulf of Mexico as warmer air tries to come back across the Midwest. That's going to be the earliest next opportunity for an organized storm system to occur. Some of the longer range forecast model data out there suggests the period from about the 26th or 27th into the 31st will be a wetter period once again, but not as wet as what we've just seen here in recent days. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Hi, this is Todd Gleason. Hey, join me January 25th for our Voices of Illinois Agriculture event. We'll share a little Illinois wine, eat some great Grand Championship pork, hear stories from Paul Cooley, do a little Ag Outlook with Wayne Nelson, Jackie Bakes, Steve Freed, and Gary Schnittke, and best of all, dine with Orion Samuelson. Your $100 ticket buys the meal, the show, and a signed copy of the Big O's new book. Even better, the funds raised will support the College of ACES Agricultural Communications and Hospitality Management programs. Register today at willag.org or call 217-333-9355.
Let's look at the electronic trade in Kansas City March wheat. 842 and a quarter up 4. In Chicago, March wheat 788 and a quarter up 5.5. March corn 733 up 2.5. July 723 and a quarter up 2.25. December 591 up 1.75. March soybeans 1428 up 12.5. July 1405 up 12.25. November 1292 3/4 up 9.5. March soybean meal 41640 up 450. March soybean oil 5116 up 29. February live cattle 130.02.5 down 40. January feeders 148.15 down 17.5. February lean hogs 85.45 up 20. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you.
The upper march continues today.
Yes, reasonably impressive. We had a little bit of weakness overnight, but firmed up nicely, and I think the perennial bears are kind of conceding the fact that maybe the market's got a little bit more upside potential. But now we've cleared some moving averages, but we're going to run into some resistance before too long. But I would say in the broad scheme of things, last Friday's numbers were pretty important, and the markets probably needs to put a little value on it.
Well, the last time that we hit this soybean level, the resistance wasn't technical. Mm-hmm. It was China canceling cargoes.
You know, it's possible we could re-enter that zone, but the big thing to watch right now is probably your 10 to 15-day forecast out of Brazil. The forecasts are starting to hint of maybe a little bit more dryness and some additional heat, which for Podfill down there is not necessarily what the doctor ordered. There's also a little bit of, I guess, saber rattling between agencies down there as far as what the production figures are. Some people think they're a little bit higher and others are a little bit lower. So there's a little confusion, and the market seems to be adding just a little extra risk premium or weather premium, however you want to write it.
What do you attribute the bullishness in corn to?
I think two things, the numbers last Friday, and I think it's following wheat to some degree. We've got a really cold spell coming next week. A lot of the wheat's going to be very, very vulnerable. Don't know what condition it is right now. It's probably not going to get help next week. So I'd say the wheat market is your upside leader, and corn's falling along nicely.
Does it matter that we're not exporting corn?
Not especially. We've written in our article several times that corn exports right now are only dialed in at 9% of last year's production. It's like saying the price of your truck is going to be higher because the tires are more expensive. It really doesn't add up. The biggest thing right now to watch as far as exports is Argentina says that they are not going to be issuing or they have suspended export licenses for the short to intermediate term. We'll see if that gets us any business. If it does, I think the trade will engage that pretty quickly. If it doesn't, it probably doesn't matter.
What are your thoughts about where futures will trade in February during the time that insurance prices are made?
Under the current situation, if we continue to mark time like this, I think we're going to be above 750 pretty soon. That would probably leave us at least an opportunity to take a look at $8. But currently, we don't have the fundamental demand to take us above $8.
Last thoughts before we let you go?
Everybody keep warm, and we'll try to, just try to keep things pasted together.
Thank you much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Current tick in the marketplace, March corn, 733, up 2.5. July, 723 and a quarter, up 2.25. December, 591 and a quarter, up 2. March beans, 1428 and a half, up 15. July, 1406, up 13 and a quarter. November, 1293, up 9.75. March soybean meal, 41630, up 440. March soybean oil, 5120, up 33. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.